Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome back to the studios of Radio Sai Prashanthi Nilayam, giving you a live broadcast in the Asia stream of Radio Sai every Thursday. And after the proceedings in the Sai Kulwant Hall, we are now back to start the evening session of this Thursday live. And this is Team Radio Sai's Ganesh inviting you all to yet another new episode of the Veda Jignyasa program. And along with me is Brother Bhargav, Sairam Bhargav.
Sairam Ganesh.
And we collectively offer at the outset our humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet and pray to him that he speaks through us, and whatever word comes out of our mouth is his choice.
Yeah, so what are you planning to do today? Something on how to chant Vedam or...
Actually, Bhargav, when I was thinking on these lines, what to do in this class, I was just reminded of the different sessions which we used to have during the sports meet. There are a various series of competitions that are conducted.
Yeah, as part of our annual cultural and sports meet. Yes.
In those competitions, one of the main events in which we used to participate was the Vedam competition.
Yes, I very vividly remember, yes.
There are different varieties of Vedam competition that go on. One is individual chanting.
Yes.
The second one is pair chanting.
Yes.
Third one is group chanting.
Group chanting, yes.
And fourth one is Vedam explanation competition.
Competition, yes.
So, there are so many opportunities for the students to learn various aspects of the Vedic chanting.
So I think taking cue from this, I think we should try to understand a little deeper what are the different aspects which our teachers used to evaluate us on, so that we'll know how to chant Vedam correctly.
Yes. So once we start chanting Vedam, we start with Gananantva. First, we'll try to learn what exactly are the different aspects or the attributes of the mantra. So that the intonation, the...
No, you're telling the three aspects, na?
Yes.
One is Akshara Shuddhi. Then what generally I remember they used to teach us was Akshara Shuddhi. Then you have Swara Shuddhi. Then you have Matra Shuddhi. So Akshara Shuddhi is how... clearly, how correctly you pronounce the syllable, the akshara. That is very important. And then second one is Swara Shuddhi. We'll come to that also. And third is Matra Shuddhi. Like how much time you have to
the length
chant
of each syllable.
How much time you have to give the length to each syllable. So first, I think, is the most important one which we used to learn was Akshara Shuddhi. Means, first of all, aksharas are those alphabets which we have in Sanskrit and in many of our Indian languages also, like Telugu, Kannada, Marathi, everywhere. So, first, the main issue which they used to tell us, which we face, is the difference between Alpa Prana and Maha Prana.
That is a very, very common mistake that we commit.
Yes. Like, if you say you have Kha, but you say it as Ka. So, if you just see the meaning also, if you see these words, Alpa Prana, Maha Prana, you get a glimpse of what actually it means. Alpa Prana means Pranavayu, the air which we breathe out, exhale. Through that only when we breathe
the life
out,
force.
Yes. When we breathe out that air, it comes through the voice box and comes as a sound. And through different combinations of the tongue and the mouth, cavity. The teeth, the mouth cavity. So, Alpa Prana means where you exhale less amount of prana. Maha Prana means you exhale more amount of prana. So, you say, if you see example of...
You put more weight into the
syllable. When you chant it. So, I've seen, especially when we see our students also many times, the main mistake comes in... people chanting Maha Prana as Alpa Prana. So you have to say Bha, you say Ba. Yes. Babhuvate Dhanuhu. Many times they say Babhuvate Dhanuhu. So it actually amounts to not chanting correctly. We should be very careful, because every Vedam mantra which we chant has a particular vibration.
Yes.
So we should be very careful when we chant. This is a main thing which we encounter in Akshara Shuddhi. So next comes Swara Shuddhi. Swara Shuddhi is, you know, in it's only unique to Vedam that we have these four
intonations. Mm. So when we chant Gananantva, once we'll start the chant, and then we'll take up each intonation that is being mentioned in the mantram.
Okay, let's start.
Gananantva Ganapati Gum Havamahe Kavim Kavinam Upamashravastamam Jeshtharajam Brahmanam Brahmanaspata Anashrunvan Nutibhissida Sadhanam.
See, if you just take this only this part of it, one common mistake which I talk about, which we are talking about Akshara Shuddhi, this is jeshthara, jeshtha. Mm. That is tha, tha with a stress.
Mahapranam.
Mahapranam. But many times when our students and devotees chant, they chant as a jeshtharajam. Mm. So the stress is not given. Mm. So this is a mistake of alpaprana, mahaprana. Mm. Second one, if you see, shunvan no tibhissi dasa bha. Mm. That bha should be given. That is again mahaprana. Mm. So these are the basic things about Akshara Shuddhi. We will go into deeper aspects of it later. Mm. So next, if you see Swara Shuddhi, because this is very unique to Vedam. Mm. So there are four aspects. Can you just dwell on those four aspects?
The first one is called the Swarita or the high-pitched intonation, which is denoted by a vertical line above the syllable in the script, what we see. So, when we, for example, Ganapati Gum, when we see that, Ganapati Gum,
the pa,
there is a line which is mentioned on the top, a vertical line, that is called the Swarita.
Swarita, yes.
Then the second intonation, the Anudatta. Or the low pitched intonation denoted by a flat line below the syllable of the script.
Yes.
So for example, Kavinka Gananam Tva.
So the ga has got Anudatta.
Then the third one is Dirgha Swarita. The Swarita which we talked about was the single vertical line. Where the Dirgha Swarita, when we see, it is called the double accent or the double vertical line which is seen above the syllable.
Yes.
Gananantva.
So how to chant this? Because many times a very common mistake which we generally encounter is the way you chant. Gananantva means
extra stress should not be given to the
second higher note. So what I feel is we have to do is in this Dirgha Swarita is there should be one beat of Ganana. If you go to the next one, the next intonation which we say is Udatta.
Udatta.
Udatta is just plain chanting. Where like you have Ganana, Tva is plain. So Dirgha Swarita is you take one beat of Udatta and one beat of Swarita in the same chanting. Can you show how to do that?
So, Gananantva.
So, Na. First was Na plain, then Na higher. So, it becomes Ganana. So, you have Udatta also, Swarita also Swarita coming also together. So, this is Dirgha Swarita. Correct? These are the four ways.
So, in one of the workshops that we attended, I think it was in Bangalore.
Bangalore, yes.
Yeah. Can you please tell the explanation that one of the devotees had given to these four intonations?
You know what? Whenever we go, people say, let it be more interesting because the new generation is learning. Let it be more metropolitan style. So I was a little flabbergasted. What is this metropolitan style of teaching Udatta and Anudatta and intonation? So this senior devotee comes to me and says, you know, sir, the best way of teaching them, why don't you tell that Anudatta is a foot under bridge. Means you see, whenever you go, you see a railway line on top and there's a road going under it. So why don't you understand, why don't you explain them that is foot under bridge is Anudatta. Means you're going under the flat level of land. Interesting. Then second, Udatta is plain road.
Okay.
When you travel on a plain road, it is Udatta. Then I was curious, okay, what is Swarita? Fine. Swarita is fine. A flyover. A flyover is a Swarita because you're going over the road. like you're just going over a flat railway track or a flat road or something. But I was really curious to know what is Dirgha Swarita.
Okay.
So I asked him, he told, what is there, sir? You see these flyovers which might be in somewhere in Hebbal or somewhere, which go up and take a curve.
Okay.
So they don't go straight. They go as a flyover and then take a turn also towards the right or left. So that is Dirgha Swarita. You go up and then take a turn. Interesting. It was a new insight for me how to teach Vedam to the new generation millennials or the kids who are there.
Okay. So once again, when we go through the Gananantva, we can have a run through of the various intonations that come across. Gananantva Ganapati Gum Havamahe Kavinka Vinamupamashravastamam. When we take this, the first one is
Ga is Anudata.
Anudata.
Ana is plain Udata. Because there is no stress up or down. Naam, in that, this is Dirgha Swarita and might be one beat of plain chanting, one beat of high chanting. Naam. This is Dirgha Swarita. Then Twa becomes normal Udata. Then what about Ganapati Gum?
Ganapati Gum Pa.
Guys got Anudata.
Anudata.
Then Pa becomes Swarita. Everything else becomes Udata. And then Hava Mahe is plain. Everything goes as plain. Here also many times we have a tendency to chant Hava Mahe or Hava Mahe. No. Should be
all
udattas. Full udatta. So, should just chant it very plainly. Hava mahe, plainly. And then next comes kavim. Ka is again anudatta.
Anudatta.
And then kavinam. So, ka becomes swarita.
Swarita.
The same way, ka, kavi. Vi is again down. Down is anudatta. Kavinam upamashravastamam. So, in this again, mu goes up, that is Swarita, and then pa goes down, anudata, and then shra is again up, stressed up. Everything else is anudata. Everything else is udata. So this is how, whenever we chant, we have to be very careful in our swaras or intonations. This is the second thing I remember our teachers used to stress in our hostel. The third one is matra shuddhi. So matra shuddhi is again the amount of time you have to chant one syllable or an alphabet should be fixed and it should be correctly chanted the way it is.
Because the beauty of Sanskrit language is that every syllable has a meaning associated with it. So while chanting, the potency of the mantra that we acquire or we give depends on the amount of stress we give for each and every syllable.
Yes.
So, which includes the swara, the intonation swara, the akshara. Syllable, as well as the matra, the length of the syllable that we take.
Just for an example, we were just discussing, if you say mala, mala is a garland. Marla is a garland in Sanskrit. If you don't say mala and make it mala, The meaning changes.
The entire meaning changes.
And becomes horrible meaning. Mala is nothing but waste matter.
Waste matter.
So if you very careful and we chant. If you just take, leave aside this. If you say Rama. Rama is a masculine form. Lord Rama. If you just remove the Ra and make it Rama, it becomes Lakshmi. So every small thing which we do should be very, very carefully done. And then with our classic case of, we have the Satyam Vada Dharmam Chara, is our logo. The same Satyam Vada, the same, Vada means speak truth. If you just stress Da more, like we had this Mahaprana, Alpaprana. If you, many times we have corrected, sometimes boys say Vada. Vada means the meaning entirely changes. It is like, first is Satyam Vada, speak truth. Satyam Vada means kill truth. You know,
the meaning entirely changes.
So these are the three aspects.
And Swami also tells Dharmam Chara. Chara is to follow the path of righteousness. When you tell it is Chara, then it is like you are putting it imprisonment of Dharma.
Okay.
So that is the amount of change that we come across when we chant a particular a syllable in a different way.
Yes.
So we should be extra careful while we learn and chant the Vedic mantras.
So the next one, if you actually see the Shruti book, which our book trust has come out with the book of Shruti, which has got all the chants of every week, whatever we chant. So in the beginning of that, you will see two shlokas. They're very, very significant shlokas. Mm. One of them is how not to chant. Mm. The second one is how to chant. Mm. So can we throw some light on that?
When we first we'll know how not to chant.
Yeah.
So that it will become easy for us to pick up how to chant.
Yes. Okay.
So there are certain mistakes that we generally commit.
Commit.
So that we that is mentioned in the form of a small one-line shloka.
Shloka.
Giti shigri shirak kampi tatha likhita patakaha. So anarthajnyaha alpakanthascha shadaite patakadhamaha. So giti shigri shirak kampi. The first one, the mistake that we commit is giti, is the one chanting in a sing-song fashion.
It's very prevalent these days, na? Om Bhur Bhuvaswaha Tat Savitur Varenyam. So, if you actually see, this is a Vedic mantra, it should not be chanted in a sing-song fashion. Mm.
So, because even though Samaveda is musically rendered, it can be recited only in the approved musical way.
Yes.
And not as each one likes.
Mm.
So, then the next one is Shigri. Shigri is one who chants in a quick tempo and ends the recitation very quickly. So this is also wrong because the Vedic word should be intoned by closely adhering to the, as we were telling, the Matra Shuddhi.
Matra Shuddhi, yes.
The time limits prescribed for uttering each word, a word sound for the full benefit.
And not only that, whenever you chant, you have a tendency to chant faster, many times you will miss the beat, the swara, and the elongate, the time limit till which you have to chant, you generally miss it. And when you miss it, what they say is, the Vedic mantras have got potency because of the vibrations it creates when you chant it clearly and crisply. And when you chant it very fast, what happens is, your the potency of the mantra and the vibration which it creates gets hampered. So it is better to chant slowly, not very slowly, chant it slowly and clearly and crisply so that all the words are heard clearly. This is Shigri, not chanting Shigri.
Shirak Kampi.
This is very normal, I think, I remember.
The one who shakes head and nods his head needlessly while chanting.
Yes, because many times what happens is when we say this word has to go down or go up, it's very natural that we put our head down when it goes. Ghana, ga, we make it down.
It down.
We shake it, put it, we move the head down, and then it is ganana means you may shake your head up. So I remember once one tri session, I remember once for what Swami had once told, he was just talking about Vedam, and he told many times what happens is these priests and many of these scholars and many people who chant Vedam, what they do, they shake their head, they shake their hand when they chant. He told no harm in doing that, but sometimes what happens is when you chant it in this way,
we get carried away.
We get so carried away that our attention goes more on our shaking head and shaking our hand, and we forget to actually dwell on the meaning and the power and the correct way of chanting on the mantra. So what happens is our mind doesn't go on the mantra as such. Since it is not the correct way, you should just sit still and then chant. I remember Swami had told this once in Trai.
So the next one is
Likhita Patakaha.
So
dear listeners, don't get disheartened by listening to this, because Swami only has given this option that okay, you start, when you start learning, maybe you take a book and then start learning slowly. And please be conscious and try to give up the book once you know it properly. So it is the importance given is to you learn it now, but once you learn it properly, thoroughly, leave the book and chant without book.
Because the basic fundamental of Vedam is to listen and learn.
Shruti, yes. And see, one more thing, I don't know if you realize or not, when we chant in a group, when we chant Vedam, one thing if you realize is, we should all chant in the same shruti, in the same voice. Our voices should
match.
Sync, when we chant. And one observation which many of our elders also have done is that when you see your book and chant, you don't give attention to what others are chanting.
You tend to go faster. You don't concentrate on what the other person is chanting.
You concentrate on your book. What is the next word? What is the next sentence? What is the next line? So in that process, what happens? You don't give attention to what others are chanting. So better you learn it, by heart it, and then leave the book and chant. Then what happens? The community chanting, the group chanting gets a lot of beauty, gets a lot of good quality.
It becomes more effective.
Yes.
So the next one is anarthaknyaha. Means one who does not understand the meaning.
Meaning and chant. But remember, there is one nice experience is there of when Swami says about this.
Yes. Actually, we wanted to deal with this in the coming classes, but as the situation has come, it's very nice to recollect that experience wherein one of the elders who was working as a collector of Anantapur district had come during one of the Dasara celebrations. And as the boys were chanting the Namakam in front of Swami, this elderly person had asked Swami, Swami, do the boys know the meaning of what they are chanting? And Swami, all the boys were like, they were taken aback as to what Swami would answer to that elderly person. Swami so lovingly looked at the boys, gave them a smile, and then looked at this elderly gentleman, and Swami told, see, when a baby
is crying,
the mother makes it sleep in her lap by singing a lullaby. And the child goes to sleep listening to the melodies, love with which the mother is singing the lullaby. In the same way, when you chant the Vedas and the child does not bother about the raga, the lyrics of that,
the meaning.
It just goes to sleep. In the same way, when you are chanting Vedam, when you chant with that bhava
and the correct intonations, correct vibrations,
then it will automatically make the mother goddess happy.
Not only that, it will give benefit to the surroundings
and the listeners who are.
But having said that, this should not make us complacent. We should learn it, should learn it by heart, and then we should make an effort to actually understand the meaning. Because once you know the meaning and chant anything, that gives you that extra beauty and extra insight into the mantra which you chant.
Because every time you chant the mantra, in the situation in which you are in, it gives you a new dimension to that mantra.
Just for example, if we know Mahamrityunjaya mantra, Trayambakam Yajamahe Sugandhim Pushtivardhanam Urvarukam Ivabandhanan Mrityor Mukshiyamamrita At. We know this is Mahamrityunjaya mantra. If you chant this, it gives a lot of good health and good life to you. But if you actually dwell the meaning of it, it gives you a very incredible insight. Because this mantra says that it compares the life of a human being as a complete life like that of a cucumber. See, if you see cucumber, if you don't go into the meaning of it, you won't understand this beautiful insight.
Correct.
Can you tell what is the insight?
Maybe what I understand is, as the cucumber
ripens,
it slowly comes down to the ground.
Yeah, because cucumber is a creeper. So if it's an apple, like Isaac Newton saw the apple, it just fell suddenly and he found the gravity. But cucumber doesn't do that, it seems. I just tried to find out. Cucumber is a creeper which slowly, with the weight of the ripened cucumber fruit, it slowly comes down and touches the ground in a very, very slow fashion. Not abrupt. And this is compared to mrityu, because it akala mrityu, with the death which comes untimely to you, is like the sudden snapping of the apple fruit and falling down, any other fruit or a coconut or whatever. But this is a very gradual and slow fall. So he's the mantra, the deity or the rishi, what he says is that the death should be so natural and so effortless. This is sunaya samaranam, without any effort. Effortlessness, without any pain. Because when suddenly something cuts and falls down, there is pain, there is an impact. But when there is this cucumber, when it comes down, no one knows also that it has come down and it has become ripened. So this is the insight which you get when you chant this mantra with the meaning.
Knowing the meaning.
Yeah. Obviously, one more meaning is Trayambakam Yajamahe. Trayambakam is the three-eyed one.
Mm.
Sugandhim Pushtivardhanam, the one who gives you health and happiness, who is the one with the fragrant one.
Mm.
So that is the attribute of Shiva.
Mm.
But this attribute of the cucumber, you will know only when you chant it properly.
Yes. As Swami told to our Praveena sir, Samskrutamena Shwasamo, when you each syllable has got a number of meanings in the Sanskrit language.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the beauty. If we take up each mantra, go into the depth of each word, we have a plethora of meanings that come up.
Mm-hmm.
And when we sit in front of Swami and chant, each time the our depending on the mindset what we have, depending on the connect with that we are maintaining with Swami, each meaning will reveal a different aspect of Swami.
Yes, Swami. And not only that, if you have experience, if you sit before Swami, sometimes he looks like a copper colored someone like a sun god. Sometimes he looks a little darker like Neela Mehashyama. Sometimes he looks like that the white, like a camphor, like camphor. Shiva.
Mm.
So he himself, when you see him in different times, he gives a different type of a darshan.
Mm.
So in the same way, when we should not become, okay, now I know, I don't need to chant without the meaning. If you go into the meaning of it, you will get new insights and new understanding of the same mantra. So I feel we should actually dwell into the meaning. And if you all get some more meanings, please share with us also.
Yes. And that we are going to do in the coming classes, go into the depth of each and every chanting that we...
Which
we do here.
And then for that also we will need your help because we are not qualified to do this. Mm. It's just
an attempt.
It's a combined effort.
Yes. And then the last one is the Alpakantascha.
Alpakantascha means... many times what happens, you chant but you don't chant it full-throated.
Mm.
They say that Vedic mantras generate vibrations and they cleanse the surroundings with the vibration of the sound which comes out of your throat. So if you don't chant it full throated, it will not generate those vibrations and it doesn't purify the atmosphere.
Mm.
And then a very good example of this they say is it should be the voice should come out of the nabhi. Should come out of the navel. So when you chant, you should feel the impact of it on your stomach.
Mm.
It should not come out of your lips or from your throat.
Mm.
When you chant it full-throated, you should feel the impact coming on the stomach, on the navel. That's how they should be chanted.
That's why in the first class, first episode when we were doing, the three different points that Swami had mentioned to the priests during the Atharvadhara Mahayajnam, the sitting straight and chanting, third one concentrating without deviating your drishti, focusing inside, and the third one, the collective chanting, everybody should be in a synchronized way. We need to chant when we are chanting as a group.
Yes.
So these three aspects when we see, every time we chant as a group, these three keep reflecting.
Yes, we should.
So correct. These are the foundation for our Vedam chanting.
Yes.
So this, once again, before we end today's class, it's, we'll just recollect the couple of things that we had spoken today. One is the Akshara Shuddhi. Matra Shuddhi and the Swara Shuddhi. And the different types of swaras that we come across in the Vedic chanting.
Swarita.
Swarita.
Anudatta,
Dirgha Swarita, Udatta. And Udatta. And then
Swarita is the high pitched one.
Mm.
Anudatta is the low pitched one which goes down.
Mm.
Udatta is plain, like the normal road.
Mm.
And then you have Dirgha Swarita is the flyover which takes a curve.
And then we went through the different aspects how not to chant the Veda.
Mm.
One is the
Geeti, singing, sing song fashion.
Mm.
Second is Shigri, chanting it faster.
Mm.
Then
Shirakampi,
moving your hands and chanting.
Then Likata Patakaha,
seeing and chanting. We can do that in the beginning, but we should have a habit of leaving the book as we progress chanting.
And then Anardhagyaha.
Anarthagyaha, as you beautifully told that experience of Chakravarti sir, that you can chant in the beginning without knowing the meaning, but once you start chanting it, you should try to understand the meaning so that you get more insights into the chanting.
And alpakantaha.
So chanting with full throat, with full enthusiasm, and
not a feeble voice.
Yes, not a feeble voice.
So with this, we come to an end to this week's Veda Jignasa episode. In the coming class, we shall begin with how to exactly chant and the rules that we should follow while chanting the Veda.
And then we'll try to see a little bit about Upanishads also, the different types of Upanishads which you have and how, what are the significances of, what is the importance of each Upanishad. And then we'll go into every mantra separately.
And we request all the listeners to please do write your feedback, your queries and come up with new ideas how we can progress in this Veda Jignasa
program.
This is a collective effort from all of us, and the knowledge shared by all of you would be very, very helpful to share with every one of the listeners who are listening to this program. And it's now time for us to go to the next segment of this Thursday Live, that is the Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom by Brother Bishu. Sai Ram, happy listening, and meet you next week, same time. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.